think the Boston Red Sox know what the word urgency means, because we are urgently awaiting them doing something. Top text of the day, Nick Fitzy Stevens, 508. Where the hell is all our breaking news? That is a great question, because while there are some big moves being made across all of baseball on this deadline day, July the 31st, 2025.
Emphasize dead so far.
Yep. Well, the Red Sox made a move.
Oh, good. Steven Matz, the New York Mets legend.
Matz all, folks. Matz all, folks. Right now, you got an overpaid lefty specialist middle reliever who all he's going to do is bump like a Bernardino or something.
I was
going to
say, don't we already have him? And we do call him Brandon Bernardino.
Yeah. So now we pay him more and he might be a little bit better. And maybe he's a little less worn out. But the urgency, Alex Cora telling us the other day that the expectation is to be a better ball club. I can't imagine his expectation. And he's apparently at a birthday party today, so I'm a little bit jealous. He's having cake and ice cream and having fun. He's at a birthday party while the Boston Red Sox do nothing. At least so far.
Is it the birth of a new era of Red Sox baseball?
No, it's a birth of the same old, we're going to sulk after the trade deadline if you do nothing. It's only 2 o'clock, though. I do want to warn everybody that we have until 6 o'clock, and even in the modern baseball world, sometimes trades trickle out a little bit after the deadline.
Don't forget the Marchand trade was announced at, like, Pierre, what's-his-face, announced it via Twitter at, like, 2:59, and then the details didn't come in until much later. So, everyone, try to be patient.
That said... Mason Miller got traded.
Oh, God.
To somebody not named the Boston Red Sox.
For a lot.
Okay. That's what superstar players go for when you throw 103.
You could say Mason Miller is like a Buffalo Chicken Calzone. Who doesn't want a Buffalo Chicken Calzone? Who wouldn't use Mason Miller?
He was an extra large Buffalo Chicken Calzone with extra blue cheese on the side.
Two
for
blue
dipping
cheese dippers,
and all that.
Yeah, one for each
end.
Can I
get another one of each corner of the box when you put that in? Thank you. Yes, Dan Ball.
I just want to check in and make sure you're doing okay, because you've wanted Mason Miller more and for longer than anybody I've ever met in my entire life.
And when people told me, well, the A's said they're not trading him. That's how this all works. When the A's say they're not trading Mason Miller, they'll still trade Mason Miller. When the Twins say they're not trading Joe Ryan, they'll still trade Joe Ryan. When the Red Sox say they won't trade Jarren Duran, they might still trade Jarren Duran. So it doesn't matter what people say, show them the money. Make them an offer they can't refuse, and that's exactly what the aggressive, the urgent San Diego Padres did. You know who else has been urgent?
The Seattle Mariners.
You know where they are in the standings?
Last I checked, a game and a half behind the Red Sox in the wild card hunt.
I believe they call that nipping at your heels in this race toward the postseason. They feel urgent. There are some teams that feel... The Blue Jays. I didn't really want Bieber, but they added a Bieber. Who hasn't
They got the
yet.
Biebs?
They got the Biebs.
He's kind of still rehabbing, but you know what they're probably thinking? Hey, if we're good enough to hold on to a playoff spot, let alone the AL East, maybe the Biebs will be ready in time for the postseason because he has what they like to call experience.
The Detroit Tigers adding. They're a first-place team, a good team.
Don't they have the best record in baseball?
They do, but they say, well, you know, we could always get better. We could fill some holes. The Boston Red Sox right now, and it's early. We still have 4 hours. I am not loving the reporting that's coming out. And speaking of reporting, we have Dan Ball taking over for Billy Lanny at the trade deadline desk, the Dan Ball desk over there. So anything that happens across Major League Baseball between now and the deadline at 6 p.m., we will toss it to Dan Ball. He will tell us names of people we may or may not have heard of, and he will tell us where they went and for what, and tell us why we should care about that.
Do we have a fancy sound?
We do. We have our own thing. It's not the Jones and Keefe sound.
Right.
Which I think may have been brought from the old Jones Night Show.
I think it was actually brought from the Rich Keefe Show. Yeah.
Different formations, but we have our own sound. Apparently, this is what it is, right, Stiz?
Go!
That is very organic to our show.
I like it. That's us. So if you hear that, it means Dan Ball's about to tell you something that's happening in Major League Baseball.
So it's a phlegmgasm with a little bit of a news stinger.
Yeah, that fits our show, right?
That is totally. And now it does indeed, Dan Ball. And yesterday, on our half show, whilst you were about frolicking or gallivanting on a beach.
That's what's happened to Breslow.
It's amazing.
Maybe he's got a boat and he went out beach. And
today is
like,
not the day you want to be in the boat. Today is the day that the Coast Guard gets called for you if you're out in the boat. While we were doing boat-related things this week, those were the boat days. Today is the day to be back at work.
Get your ass back to work,
Bresbotting. I asked Dan and Ted yesterday if they were at all concerned as we... steamed towards the trade deadline, did you think that maybe winning the last two games by a combined score of, what was it, 21-6, and then winning 2 out of 3 against the Dodgers, 4 of 6, oh, looking better, probably should have won all three games in Minnesota if it weren't for the rain delay and the Jordan Hicks incident. Did that possibly affect the mindset of the Red Sox going into the trade deadline? Like, you know what? Actually, we are playing better now. So why do we need to empty the veritable prospect cache?
It better not have.
I think it might have.
Because the Minnesota Twins gave up. Part of the reason you beat the hell out of them is because they traded one of their starting pitchers like 24 hours before he was supposed to start against you. Paddock. They got rid of him and it became a bullpen day. They're calling guys up like double-A relievers are pitching. You should have kicked the crap out of them. As much as we needed those wins and wanted those wins to get to 500 for the Ted Johnson barometer of feeling good at the trade deadline, you were supposed to beat up on the Twins. Mm. And you're not a great baseball team right now. You have holes in the rotation. Dan Ball, who's the Red Sox fifth starter right now?
It's a nice open blank space right now on their schedule.
When you mean who's blank, that? Not filled in, or a blank space in terms of you can't say the swear that you should describe that space with?
It is currently an unfilled spot in their rotation, but whoever it's going to be is probably going to pitch like blank based on their options.
Is it going to be Kyle? Is Kyle Harrison up for?
I'm not sure. There really hasn't been any smoke to that. They like some of what they're seeing, but he doesn't seem to be
the finished
product.
It's going to be the Jag they trade for today. They will trade for a Jag pitcher.
Charlie Morton.
It could be Charlie Morton.
Wait, don't they also need kind of a fifth and a half starter or a sixth, considering that they're going to be building in load management days for Crochet?
Which some of us that may or may not be attending tomorrow night's game, not real happy.
Yeah,
because I was
sucks.
Pretty sure that when we spoke with Alex Cora, when he laughed off the idea of skipping Crochet's start before the trade deadline, he said, quote, we pushed him back here. We'll push him back coming out of the deadline, All-Star break. And then he said, and then it'll be full go from there. This doesn't feel like full go.
Oh, did you, I'm sorry. Did you look Alex Cora in the face and ask him a question and then take his answer at value?
Yeah. Well, I don't know if it was a face or phone call one, but are you now mocking the manager that speaks with us quite nicely?
No, because I'm the man who talked about Garrett Crochet pitching a complete game full well, and Alex Cora saying, wouldn't that be nice? Looking at me smiling and then laughing at the floor, full well knowing this guy's going 85 pitches tops tonight.
He has fibbed to us a number of times. This feels like another one. They've bumped him back to Monday from Friday. He'll pitch not against the Astros, but early next week, and they say there's no injury, but more importantly, is they have holes. What happened to the talk of not filling the fifth starter role? Mm. What happened to the talk of filling the number two starter role? That's what I remember hearing about Sam Kennedy, Craig Breslow. They were telling me, we're not just going to acquire a pitcher to call him a starting pitcher. We're going to bring in somebody that we can pencil in behind Garrett Crochet and say, we now have two studs heading into a potential postseason series. 617-779-7937. If you want to join the pre-criticism of the Boston Red Sox, who don't seem to be keeping up with the Joneses or the Padres or the
Mariners
or the Blue Jays or the Tigers or any of the other teams.
Well, would you look at the time?
All the other teams that are active right now. 617-779-7937. Sort of laying the foundation of how this show will go. Yes, we may be bitching for a while leading up to the 6 o'clock trade deadline. Ted Johnson, as always, will join the fun at 3 o'clock. 3:30, we'll talk to our guy Tom Curran. He was down at Patriots training camp today with Fitzy. A little bit of a walkthrough leading into
little
tomorrow.
Bit.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know, honestly. Calling it a slap and tickle would be an insult to what slap and tickles are.
Okay, so it was not the highest of intensity practices, but tomorrow they will have a high intensity in-stadium practice. I think they're kind of bringing back the days of the blue-white scrimmage.
I think
Mike
they
Vrabel.
Are, because I've been to one and many of those, as you have as well, the in-stadium practices. And in the Belichick era and after, they were really semi-unremarkable, whereas I feel like Vrabel, who once again, it is remarkable how much showmanship he is bringing to a team that he has to rebuild the roster of and rebuild the confidence of as well. I think he's going to bring and understands the value of adding showmanship to the in-stadium practice for the season ticket holders tomorrow night.
Well, I think there may be some of that. I also think there may be just a lot of competition. And as things went on under Belichick, there was less and less competition. There was sort of established teams and players and roles.
When your entire line stinks, it doesn't really matter who plays where.
Now you're competing at offensive line, which Fitzy spoke with Morgan Moses.
What a dude.
Who seems like a nice fellow. I wish he blocked Harold Landry and Chaisson a little bit better on the practice field. But
I'm cutting him some slack, I'll tell you. We have a new.
Oh, I thought you were cutting him.
No, no, I'm cutting him.
I might have agreed.
No, no, you need somebody. You know, did you know his locker is right next to Will Campbell's? And that he's in his ear and up in his
Morgan
biz
Moses.
Every day?
Is that just like Diggs next to May? We're going to build all these buddies? Is it the buddy system down at Gillette Stadium?
Quick question. Why would you mock that?
Because you know what? We need talent.
I know.
Buddy system.
But don't you want on a day when Will Campbell like loses more reps than he wins against the Keon Whites and the Calavin Chasins and whatnot, like, wouldn't you want someone like Morgan Moses there to tell him, like, don't you worry. I got my ass handed to me a number of times before. Here's what you need. If that's his job.
I want him to tell him how to not get his ass handed to him. Not pat him on the back and say, hey, we all suck, but let's suck together.
Oh, my God.
I don't want kumbaya.
Would the Red Sox please make a trade and do something so I don't have to deal with this version of you all day?
Why does the 860 say that I sound like a 16-year-old girl who couldn't get a date? This has got nothing to do with me. This is the Boston Red Sox. This is Craig Breslow, who we thought painted themselves in a corner. Am I wrong about that?
It's not me. It's you.
We said they painted themselves in a corner. They have to do something.
Classic denial.
Every level of the organization has said they're going to be aggressive at the trade deadline multiple times.
And yet?
Nothing.
And yet?
And yet Steven Matz is a member of the Red Sox.
We got Steven Matz. We can't say nothing.
Used to start. Maybe we could reconvert him to being a very adequate left-handed fifth or sixth starter.
I don't think.
What a deal.
There is talk of that, you know. I know you're mocking that.
No, no. I remember when he pitched for the Mets.
There's
Mets,
talk
Mets.
Of that a couple of his outings have been like 40 pitches and that it wouldn't be that hard to stretch him out and make him your fifth starter. Yes, Dan Ball.
Not to be overly pessimistic, but I was messaging back and forth with somebody who was around the Mets, and he said, trading a living, breathing human for Steven Matz in the year of our Lord 2025 is crazy. That was the evaluation I got.
Which the Red Sox traded Blaze Jordan, who's a forgotten prospect. He's just forgotten. Going to be a Rule 5 guy. An expiring prospect is what I called him. He's an expiring prospect.
Nailed it.
And you know how we learned that? Didn't they have a need at first base?
Yeah, if he's not good enough to call up. Yeah.
They haven't had a first baseman for months, and yet they didn't want to bring him up. I think they told you all you needed to know about their feelings for Blaze Jordan. The coolest thing about Blaze Jordan is...
his name.
Blaze Jordan. Absolutely. Even to the
point... We just got... like, the name factor on the Red Sox just got way less cool. Blaze Jordan.
I believe the Athletics trade breakdown here, actually italicized his name everywhere they wrote it, and they wrote parenthetically, the only reason it's italicized is it feels like a name that should be italicized because it's so cool.
Sister's name?
His name... what?
Air.
We're not doing that.
Why not? I need to throw flash grenades into the room of you.
We need a
to
trade.
Break the tension.
If I'm a 16-year-old girl who can't get a date, I don't know what Fitzy is right now.
That's what I need. Thank
Brez,
you, Stiz.
If we don't get a trade, there's going to be more of that humor from Fitzy for the next 2 hours and 45 minutes.
3 hours and 45
minutes. 3 hours and 45 minutes, and nobody needs that. So we need a trade to talk about. We will have a conversation, though. You mentioned Fitzy.
Mm-hmm.
Morgan Moses. You spoke with him down at training camp. We'll
Indeed.
Talk to him in about 10 minutes at 2:30. Well, also 4 o'clock. In my opinion, the best interview regarding the Boston Red Sox that you can get will be on these airwaves. Lou Merlone. And
Lou
Merlone, after they aren't making moves, could be a return to angry Lou.
What
you
if
might
Lou
want to
knows
have your
something.
Finger on the button.
What if Lou knows something and he's back pocketing it and he can't tell you, but then he starts to like unfurl a bit and tease
it absolutely.
Out?
If he gives me reason or he asks me to, Andy, I understand why you're fired up, but give them a couple hours. It's still not 6 o'clock.
Yeah, it's just a completely different. There's no more hope.
There's no more hope. There's expectations. Now, that was taking him out of context a little bit, as you radio people do there, Stiz. But he was talking about expectations coming into the season. There were those, and there are those. The expectations are for this baseball team to play in October. And if you want to do that and you want to keep up with the Joneses, the other teams, maybe you need to make some moves.
Relax and let me cook.
You're not cooking. You have no gas. You have no electricity. You are not cooking, Craig Breslow. Yes, Dan Ball.
All right, so I just want to set the baseline that we can revisit later on in the show. Can each of you guys give just your level of expectation currently for what we're going to be talking about come 6 o'clock today?
Okay, so it's not going to make any sense based on the first 19 minutes of the program because I sound like I'm riled up, but I think it's because I believe this. They're going to make a big move. I think I'm going to be excited about a move they make. I don't know if it's Yandy Diaz and a pitcher. I've kind of backed off a little bit on the Joe Ryan train. I still have dreams that it's Joe Ryan and Griffin Jacks coming to Boston
yesterday.
As a pair, but probably
Dan,
not
what
like
was the name of that caller? It was Mike who called in at the end of the 4 o'clock hour and said, How would you guys feel? Obviously, now this trade is implausible because Juwan Duran is now a member of the Philadelphia Phillies, but he offered Marcelo Meyer for what would have been Duran and Joe Ryan. And you said, I'll pick up Meyer, get whatever snacks he needs,
I'll
and
bring him
to the
Logan
airport.
Myself. 100%. Absolutely.
He's fragile, we've learned. He gets hurt
That's
every
the
year.
Thing. That's the problem.
And he's a prospect. That's the other thing.
No.
He's just a prospect.
Is he? No, Roman Anthony is now officially a major leaguer.
Correct.
Where is Meyer?
He's a high-end prospect.
Yeah.
A prospect that's learning. But the injury thing I can't remove. He is just injury-prone. And I don't mean that as a shot at him as much as just an observation of his professional baseball career. And that has to go into the evaluation as you see him. The other thing I think we all need to just accept, Joe Ryan is an elite arm. If you bring, you kind of have two aces if you bring in Joe Ryan.
And you may also need an ace 1-A if you're going to manage ace number one period over the long haul.
Maybe a little less stress, both mentally and physically,
and
on Garrett Crochet.
And you're going to need better pitching when you go up against teams like, I don't know, and I don't know if they have any more games against them. They probably do. Against the Mariners with the Josh Naylors and the Eugenio Suarez.
And
I learned how to pronounce it.
The other aspect of this that I'd roll into there, you're playing without Marcelo Meyer. So I'm looking right now. I kind of have blinders on. You've been bad for a while as the Boston Red Sox. I'm looking at the postseason. I'm looking at winning in the postseason. Marcelo Meyer, I don't think, is going to help them win in the postseason. The lack of reporting on Marcelo Meyer's wrists makes me believe I think he's only got one bad one, but I don't know.
I think it's just
makes me believe he's not really somebody you can count on down the stretch here. So therefore, if I trade him, I'm trading for Joe Ryan, a guy that's not going to help me this postseason. And that is my calculus, I guess they would say in the business. I'm trying to win. To me, you've proven yourself a playoff caliber baseball team, both with your record and the way you've played in the middle of the season, pre and post All-Star break.
Jaron Duran, has he now with his white hot July, is he now showcasing for higher value, or is he proving that he is untradeable to you?
Now, I don't love that.
He's indispensable.
I don't love that just because now I'm down an outfielder. Because my outfielder is actually playing second base a lot right now because my second baseman has a bad wrist because
the legend of Yoshida and left? What an adventure for
everyone.
I don't
love it. I actually, at this point, the guy whose stock is rising so fast, I wonder if he becomes a possibility, is the password. He has been crushing it in Pawtucket. And you might be forced into bringing him up the way you were kind of forced into bringing up Marcelo Meyer, and maybe he's ready. Maybe he's ready to take off. But there is... If you ask for Jaron Duran, I'd say, I'm listening. If you ask for Marcelo Meyer, I'd say, I'm listening. If you ask for Roman Anthony, I hang up and say he's not available because Roman Anthony, Tom Caron might be onto something when he said he's a Hall of Famer. Roman Anthony is ridiculous.
Super good at baseball.
He is super good, and he's a guy that I think can help you win a playoff series. 617-779-7937. We are reacting to the lack of activity from your Boston Red Sox. And that's all, folks, as they've done so far. But there are 2.5 hours yet to go here on WEEI Afternoon. 3.5 hours. Sorry, I'm having trouble with the clock today. 3.5 hours left on WEEI Afternoons, as well as leading up to the trade deadline. And we will have every bit of Major League Baseball news all along the way from Dan Ball. Up next, we'll hear from Morgan Moses down at Patriots camp. But first, speaking of Dan Ball, he has what's trending. WEEI Afternoons, live in our Brighton studios. A little gray out there. I think we might get some rain. But we're doing just fine in here, powered by Verizon. Dan Ball.
Yep.
I've been seeing some texts and some tweets regarding a potential Red Sox target that has a flurry of activity in the minds of many in Red Sox Nation. Yandy Diaz was pulled from the game? Is that accurate?
Yandy Diaz was pulled, I believe, in the fourth inning of their game. They're playing right now against the Yankees.
Because they're going to trade him.
Unfortunately, because he got hit on the hand. They're saying that he has a right forearm contusion considered day-to-day. Their president of baseball operations also said about a half hour ago that he and Brandon Lau are unlikely to be traded before the deadline.
Womp womp. Unlikely is not no.
And to your point, so up your offer. So, yeah. Isn't that the answer to that?
The $1 million man.
Right.
Everybody's got a price. Mm-hmm. Everybody's moving. Now he's damaged goods now, so obviously my price goes down.
Day to day. Think of it this way. Maybe that'll drop the price down the tiniest little bit that'll entice the Brezbot to get back involved in the Diaz sweepstakes.
Also, before we go to the phone lines and before we go to our Morgan Moses interview, did I understand that John Heyman has a little bit of an update? There's a little bit of buzz surrounding Joe Ryan.
Not John Heyman.
Oh.
That was our guy from Underdog Fantasy in the Section 10 podcast, Jared Carabas.
Oh, okay. A more local and potentially more accurate source, because John Heyman said Aaron Judge was going to the Giants a couple years ago, right?
Arson Judge, as a matter of fact. He mistyped both the name and the team. We've all done it before. But yeah, so coming out of their trade deadline live stream right now, he said that he was out on Joe Ryan being moved in any capacity. But as of this morning, he was back in on the possibility. So he had the Mets trade last night a couple minutes before it broke, so he is a reliable source when it comes to the Red Sox. And so your dream's not dead yet, Andy Hart.
So you're saying there's a chance,
indeed,
baby.
I am.
Joe Ryan remains in play as we have about 3.5 hours to the Major League Baseball trade deadline.
There we go.
Fitzy's chat with Morgan Moses in just a second, but I got to go to the phone line, 617-779-7937. Jay in Rhode Island seems to have a message for me. What's up, Jay?
Take a chill pill, dude. You're out of control.
I'm fired up. It's trade deadline day.
I know, but there's nothing you or I can do about it. Just calm down. I mean, this is exciting. I mean, this year, we expected it, and then it didn't happen, and then these young guys, they're catching, Red Sox Nation's passion.
Yeah.
I mean, I haven't seen this in a long time.
Exactly. Thanks for the call, Jay.
Wow.
You haven't seen this in a long time. That's why you should invest in the team. Also, I've learned the lesson from my wife. Telling somebody who's fired up to relax or chill out, not great.
Doesn't usually work.
No. Lesson learned many times. So I'm going to use the same. All right. I'm going to stay fired up until either 6 o'clock comes and I have to just move on about my day. Or I get what I want, and that's a big-name deal, a big acquisition, which is something that none of you people seem to believe in. We'll get to that later with the poll of the day here on WEEI Afternoons. But as I said, we're going to weave in a little Patriots football throughout the program as we go through trade deadline day. And Fitzy, you were down in Foxborough for a walkthrough.
It was a soft practice, indeed.
But you did get to talk to Morgan Moses. Big old right tackle for the New England Patriots, veteran.
It's a lot of human.
And you're a little taller, so it's not quite the poor draw I had interviewing Cole Strange next to Ted Johnson.
Quick question. In watching that, I couldn't help but wonder, did you frame yourself that way on purpose?
I had to hold the microphone for Ted, so there was really no other way to do it. And yeah, I referenced it in the interview. I knew I was going to get made fun of.
It was like the smallest piece of cheese on the biggest sub sandwich.
I'm just saying, like, they're two NFL. One's an offensive lineman, one's a linebacker. They're great, whatever. They're great players. Anyway, here's Nick Fitzy Stevens down in Foxborough today with Morgan Moses. Morgan Moses.
For WEEI and the Six Rings Pod, Nick Fitzy Stevens here, and rarely before in all of my years of being 6'2", 190, have I ever felt more slight than right here against the wall of humanity that is new Patriots offensive lineman and right tackle, Morgan Moses. How's Pats Nation treating you so far, Morgan?
Man, it's been fantastic, man. Just coming out here and see, I think a lot of us said on the first day of camp, like, we wasn't expecting to see that many people out there. But, you know, the one thing you hear about Boston is that, you know, and just New England fans just in general, that they're diehard, man. And so being able to come into a situation like this where you got great fans, great players, great coaches, man, the sky's the limit for us.
There's a lot of passion in Boston sports, man.
Yep.
As you can probably tell, in your first couple of practices here in the first couple of months, since you crossed enemy lines from the Jets to the Pats, we welcome you with open arms.
I appreciate it. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Good to have you on the right side of history now. As you can tell, you know, the Patriots have had some offensive line struggles the last couple of years. Did the fact that there were big expectations for you coming in, hoping to solidify this offensive line after a couple of years of uncertainty ever seem daunting to you?
No, you know, when you look at it, man, Rome wasn't built in one day, and then, you know, we're taking this day by day to build this offensive line, and we got, the good thing about it is we got a lot of great young talent, we got a lot of, you know, veteran leaders, and, you know, number one, Mike, who's been here, you know, he knows what the expectations, he's been on the winning side, he's been on the losing side, so he knows what it looks like when it looks good, and he knows what it looks like when it looks bad, and then have, obviously, adding Garrett in there, you know, a veteran center who can make all the calls and take things off the plate of our quarterback. And just the guys, man, like they're young and athletic and they're moving places and they're playing different positions and they're getting coached by great coaching staff, and they're taking in what us veterans are bringing to the table as well. So it's been healthy for us.
On the subject of leadership, it seems like you came in and became like a natural leader immediately on the offensive line, not just for all your years, but the way you compose yourself and the way you speak. you enjoy being like a leader along lines? Do you enjoy being one of those voices that when you talk, people listen, especially with new pieces and rookies and Will Campbell and Jared Wilson?
Well, I think when you set aside a time and you talk in football like we do after practice and things, and we're just shooting it, you know, going through things that we might have seen in practice or things that we might not understand or different techniques that can get us the best result. You know, that's in between the lines football. You know, that's raising the IQ of everyone. And I tell the guys, like, I learn more from them than they probably learn from me, because there's things that they've done in college that I didn't get to do 12 years ago. So it's a revolving door. And so when you can have that relationship with the guys and then create that brotherhood where anybody can call out anybody, you know, first year, second year, 10, 12, it doesn't matter. You just keep everybody held accountable, and that's what a great offensive line does.
So have you been as impressed as Caden Wallace has been with Jared Wilson, who yesterday was saying, like, he's good, he's real blank and good. Like, yeah. I mean, we're all very excited for him. Like,
No. I mean, you know, obviously we didn't get to see that much in OTAs and things, but as he was dealing with things that he was dealing with. But, you know, he's definitely came out here and put his hard hat on and to learn this offense. And then it's obviously being a young player and then playing multiple positions is not easy. But he's took that on the chin and he's run with it. And, you know, obviously he's competing. And we had a great conversation the other day because I was like, how many games did you play in college? He's like, I only started 12. And I was like, what, bro? Like, so just to hear those things and to see, like this is a guy that hasn't played much football but understands it. Now it's kudos to his college coaches and things like that, but it's kudos to him for taking the time to be able to understand those things and to be a knowledgeable football player as well.
And with Will Campbell as well, obviously high expectations, fourth overall pick. Pats have needed a left tackle, haven't had a really steady one since 2018, Trent Brown as well. How do you help steady him when he has days with lots of ups and downs, a lot of criticism from media, and high expectations from the fans?
Well, you know, at the end of the day, man, you know, he's a smart kid, man. He's a great, great football player. You know, that's why he's gotten drafted so high. And I tell him, like I tell him every time, man, there's going to be days where you're going to get your tail whooped. And, you know, as a professional, it's your job to look at the film and correct those things and come out the next day and not have those same mistakes. And that's the evolution of just being a great football player. But he has that anger and that oomph about him where he wants to be great. He doesn't like being, you know, like having bad practices. And that's what you want. That's what you want as an offensive line and a front runner. And I told him when it's all said and done, man, you know, when we get this thing rolling, it's going to be a beautiful thing because I'm going to be able to understand him as a left tackle and he's going to understand me as a right tackle. And that's how you create a great situation.
Bookends for a quarterback with high expectations.
There you go.
Well, by the way, whenever Will Campbell talks, sometimes as he says something to you, he goes like, I got some question for you. You're like, I'm sorry, what?
Trust me, my locker's beside him, so I get those questions all the
great.
Time. Yeah,
that's
yeah.
awesome that you guys are side by side with each other.
Tell him to move his stinky cleats, though.
All right, Will, move your stinky cleats. And lastly, obviously, you've been impressed so far with Mike Vrabel, Doug Marrone stepping in, veteran offensive line coach. Like you said, there's a lot of great minds on the line and in the room. But what about for yourself, for Morgan Moses? What's the plan for this year? Load maintenance, making sure that you're healthy to get through the whole season, and be that steady presence both in the locker room and on the line, and what should be an exciting season?
I think, honestly, it's just going out there and competing and having fun, man. I'm still having fun at year 12 to play this game, and, you know, I come back playing this game because I don't know it all, and I feel like I still have room to learn. So having that growth mindset allows you to come out and flourish as a player. And, you know, when you get those younger guys around you and they see, like, hey, this guy's taking care of his body, this guy's putting in an extra 20 minutes after practice to do this, or this guy's here on time every day, like, they start building a regimen as well, and it becomes a cool thing because then you got four or five guys doing the same thing, and that's just how you build that chemistry and that love for the game and that brotherhood outside of these lines. And that's what we're doing, man. Like, at the end of the day, you know, it's not just about me, it's about all 11 people that's on the field at the same time, whether it's me or somebody else out there. We're creating the atmosphere for everybody to be able to flourish.
And I know it's your job to keep the quarterback clean, as they say. But at the same time, every now and again, like, Drake's a very handsome guy. Yeah. Like, do you let him get a little bit dirty just to make sure you keep him in his place?
No. I got to keep him upright. But he's done a great job just, you know, controlling the huddle, controlling this offense. You know, obviously.
You've seen the growth.
I've seen the growth, man. He's a great quarterback, man. Like, he gets all the guys on the same accord, and he demands excellence out of these guys. And that's what you need, man, to have a well-oiled machine, man, and operate the way you need to operate. It's just being have a guy out there that understands the offense and can lead us the way we need to be led.
Well, it's great to hear these things about leadership and the positivity that you've been bringing, Morgan. It's a pleasure to hear to someone who's a fan and also works in the media. We need more of this. So
I appreciate
thanks
it.
Thanks, and
Thank
good health
you.
To you, and have a great season.
I appreciate it. Blessings, brother.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
You too.
That was Nick Fitzy-Stevens and Morgan Moses down at Gillette Stadium today with the first-year veteran right tackle mentor that one way or the other is going to play a key role in this offensive line this year.
He, too, is just as impressed as Caden Wallace, as you heard there in the interview with Jared Wilson. The fact that he talked to him after he saw him for a week at training camp and said, wait a second, how many games did you start at Georgia? And he said 12. And he said, there's no way you only started 12 games. Everybody, like, he is, I can't believe that we're going to say that the breakout starts. Obviously, Diggs, number one. But, like, I would say, perhaps, number two, the breakout star thus far of camp as we're just a week in, might be Jared Wilson. And boy, Andy, do they need him, because with the questions along the line, which I know you've debated and gotten into and spoken on this past week, a guy like Jared Wilson could be a breath of fresh air. And it's good to have somebody who's positive and has been around, like you said, for 12 years, like a Morgan Moses, to talk to him.
We'll continue to monitor the Major League trade deadline activity. The Red Sox have traded for a middle reliever yesterday. That's about it. We're awaiting bigger, better moves with the urgency that was called for by Breslow and company. Up next, though, we will continue to mix in a little football as Fitzy will give us some of the highlights from the walkthrough down at Gillette today. Drake May spoke, and that will be the topic of my three-point stance when Ted Johnson joins us at the top of the hour. So a little football continued into trade talk here on WEEI Afternoons. WEEI Afternoons, waiting on some activity from the Boston Red Sox. It is trade deadline day, and they told us they have urgency. But I believe we have some other news from trade deadline day. So let's go to Dan Ball.
Go, 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 go!
Unfortunately, this one is related to Nick Fitzy-Stevens in a three-point stance from earlier this week. The New York Yankees are finalizing a trade to acquire closer David Bednar from the Pittsburgh Pirates. Again, Bednar, 30 years old this season, 42 games, 2.37 ERA, as well as 17 saves. He spent the last five seasons with the Pittsburgh Pirates, headed to the Evil Empire.
See, Mitch Keller and David Bednar in a stunning blockbuster package would have addressed every single need that the Red Sox had, of course, save for a right-handed first baseman. But those are two of your three most significant needs right there. An organization you've previously dealt with, someone you would have had control, two guys you would have had control of for a couple of years. That would have improved the Red Sox. Instead, now he goes to the Bronx, where we're going to have to deal with him, that little fireplug of a closer, son of a.
Interesting that the team right behind the Red Sox, very active. The team ahead of the Red Sox, active. The team leading the AL East, active. The team leading the American League overall, active. And the Red Sox are standing pat, basically adding an overpriced middle reliever, lefty specialist type, who maybe could stretch out to be a fifth starter. But we continue waiting. I'm not going to be down in the doldrums just yet. We continue to wait. And also what made me laugh is when we threw to the Dan Ball trade desk, Ted Johnson was flexing in the background if you were watching on Twitch. That entertained me as well more than the information that Dan Ball was sharing, because that was a bit of a downer update. So we'll continue to monitor everything going on with the trade deadline in the Boston Red Sox. Fitzy, we do have a couple days ago we talked about maybe you needed a new nickname. Maybe it wasn't Fitzy anymore. Maybe we need to update
Pussyfoot Stevens.
207, Nick Pussyfoot Stevens. Apparently that was his reaction to your Morgan Moses interview.
Yeah, exactly. What would the 207 have liked me to have asked Morgan Moses, aside from how he gets along with the coach, the Campbell, the leadership, load management plans for the season? Was there something I was supposed to?
Well, I'll tell you something I would have asked, and then Ted would have gotten mad at me and said I shouldn't have asked it. But
okay.
I might have asked a question about Harold Landry and Chaisson, who've been getting around the edge on their tackles very frequently. Just wondering, are those guys primed for great years? You know, you can kind of ask that question in a positive for the defense.
So, like,
that would have been pussyfoot heart.
It's not about like, hey man, those guys really got the best of you in several other linemen. It's more like, whoa, are they primed for they're looking
year.
Good.
And then maybe Morgan Moses goes, well, you know, iron sharpens iron, and nothing gets us more ready for the regular season than having some great guys on the other side here on the training camp.
See, but with a guy like Morgan Moses, who is so imminently positive,
yeah,
you just kind of find yourself going along the lines of like his energy and the way he's feeling. Like, he kind of draws you. He's got like a tractor beam that just draws you into his very pleasant overall tone. It's like he's kind of orating a little bit. Like, as you notice, like, he's a very fluid speaker. I hope there are more guys like him, or that more guys are listening to him, because when he speaks, good things come.
I told you, I'm growing more and more concerned that he's the modern Cam Newton, that I love him days a week, and then I'm concerned about his ability
on Sundays.
Sunday when he has to block.
Well, he
Max
has been
Crosby
around the league. He has been around
guys.
The league for 12 years. So
the rest of training camp today. So you said it was a bit of a walkthrough. Drake May spoke. What were some of your takeaways from the action you saw down on the practice field?
Today was really, really low key. Like, really, really low key.
Health, guys back.
Let me tell you one guy who was back. We got our first look today at Mac Hollins, your new favorite guy.
Oh, he's a shoe-in to make the roster.
Is he?
See what we did there.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, see, I see what you said. I see what you did there.
I mean,
there.
He's making, he got decent money, and Josh loves him. He is a shoe-in to make
the
roster.
He sticks out easily on the field amongst everyone else because it was not even
barefoot.
Shirts and shells. Yes, well, the barefoot thing. But also, he and Robert Spillane both like to wear red hoodies underneath their practice attire as well.
The old red sleeves.
I would say, yeah, kind of a different thing. I would say Drake May wasn't shy about targeting him, but it wasn't that he was trying to make up for a full week of training camp by Mac Hollins. You know who he does look to a lot as he's holding the ball and trying not to either A, run into a first down or trouble or throw a quick pick on a first read? They go to the backs a lot.
The running backs are going to catch a lot of passes.
He looks like, I would tell you right now, in fantasy or along your expectations, this one may not necessarily be for the whole, like, I can't stand another McDaniel screen crowd. The backs are going to get a lot of work in the passing game.
The only problem is, if they're at their best, it's going to be the old school Patriots backfield, which is not valuable in fantasy because I think all three of them, mm-hmm. at the very least, and that's Travion Henderson, mm-hmm. added to Antonio Gibson and the slimmed-down, more athletic Ramondre mm-hmm. Stevenson. I think the three of them could all catch, I don't know, whatever, 30-something passes.
30 to 50 balls.
And all of a sudden, you didn't get anything in fantasy, but from a Patriots perspective, you said, well, I got 110 receptions from my running backs, and they were very productive for the offense.
Efton Chisholm has had a couple of good days this week. He spoke to the media afterwards as well.
Efton we're talking
Chisholm
practice squatters here
Patriots
on the radio?
Patriots living legend and future Hall of Famer, Efton Chisholm. Morgan Moses obviously spoke. Drake May drew a crowd as well. And every single one, boy, they blew the horn. You know how at the end of practice, as the players are doing autographs and they blow the air horn, that means time's up.
Yeah.
Go do an interview or go catch a shower. They all stayed. There's something going on in terms of like the positivity.
Are we doing a vibe check?
We may be vibe checking.
There are positive vibes in Foxborough that were absent a year ago.
I may have to get into that in
my
3-point stance.
We're vibing.
But what do you want right now? Good vibes? Bad vibes?
I'd prefer good vibes.
I do too.
Were there any good vibes last year?
Not really.
When did the good vibes die in Foxborough last year? Because that's the one thing Mayo was supposed to bring was good vibes. Energy, and he's a people person, and he's tearing down silos, and he's building everybody up. When did the vibes die?
I think it was when they lost to the Seahawks.
Yeah, I think it was when they painted a mural. I think that was the end of the vibes.
What did they do with that,
Foxborough,
by the way?
It's gone. I believe they carted it out or something. I think it was on wood, and they took it off the wall or something. But it's gone, thank God. It is gone.
Have mercy. Just the fact that they were playing, like, the players were playing, like, beer pong, minus the beer, of course, and Mike Vrabel was down there goofing around with the guys afterwards. Like, there is a, because of who Mike Vrabel is and because of the way that, and Ted has spoken to this a number of times, with his playing experience, obviously there's a high relatability factor. I think the vibes are starting from the top down. I think Mike Vrabel is legitimately enjoying himself. And I think he's in such a great spot. He's spreading that, and it's starting to filter out from the players to the fans.
Because he's a couple C words. Confident.
Yeah, okay.
Cocky.
Mm-hmm.
Comfortable. Right? Those are
competent.
He's comfortable, competent, whatever you want to say. He's been there, done that. He's going to do what he thinks is right, and he believes it truly is right. He's not going to second guess himself. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. They all do that. Some of the great ones make decisions they think are right, but he believes everything he does. When he's a hard ass, it was right to be a hard ass. When he lets up and is a little looser with his players, with the media, whoever, he thinks that's the exact right thing to do. He's super comfortable in his own skin, and I think you have to be that to be a leader of men, to be a head football
coach. And you heard as well yesterday when Robert Kraft said that he knew he was going to be a great head coach when he defeated Brady and Belichick back in January of 2020, to which I think a lot of us also said in our minds, well, then why didn't you hire him now?
Robert, stop telling us when you thought guys were going to be great head
coaches.
Just hire them and let them prove it here with their actions on the football field. Coming up here on WEEI Afternoons, it's 3 o'clock. Ted Johnson's here. He was flexing in the background at the trade desk. He's got a flowery shirt on. He's bringing energy. And we got a 3-point stance from me that is going to be optimistic. And you're like, oh, Andy with some optimism? I love what I'm seeing from a certain key player down in Foxborough, both in what he's doing on the field physically, but everything else that goes into his job. I'll tell you who it is and why it is next year on WEEI Afternoons.